Yes, Lord, there truly is a happy land, far, far away, that we are all longing to go to this morning, I trust. I trust that that we are all preparing in this life for the next. But history teaches us that there are always those who are slow to hear. And so, Father, we pray that through your great mercy today, that if those who are in our midst who have not surrendered their heart and repented before Jesus Christ and the church of Jesus Christ, that you would help them today to break their hearts before you. This is our cry and our plea. We thank you, Lord, that we've heard 8 beautiful testimonies of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so help us today, Lord, to not to harden our hearts, because we know that today is the day of salvation. And so we want to thank you for that today, and thank you for all who are present here today. We just pray that you would further give direction here as we as I share a few words. I pray that you would edit this message in length and also in content according to your will and gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know the day is far spent, but I just had a short message here upon my heart this morning. And I titled it, The High Calling of God in Christ Jesus. Out of Philippians 3 there. Because there truly is a high calling to follow the God of heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to welcome all the visitors here and trust that you will be encouraged by this day, and also that you would pray and walk together with us here. I was just at the beginning here wanting to mention that the tent meeting's coming up here Friday evening. I was just going to put out a plea to all of us that we would faithfully attend these meetings. I know it's going to be a little in about 10 days, but we do believe God has spoken mightily in the last couple weeks here with the death of these 2 young sisters. And we do believe that it is a good time, as always, to seek the Lord, to humble our hearts before Him, and to seek the Lord together, and to put off those secondary things, and put off those things that are lesser things, and to come together for the cause of seeking the Lord together. And I trust many of us have been praying and fasting and seeking the Lord in these areas. And so just putting that out there as an encouragement, as a plea. There's a high calling of God. Have you heard God calling this morning? God is calling us. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, give a constant effort to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's an invitation this morning to make our calling and election sure. And as we can see, this is not talking to the unsaved. This is talking to the brethren. It says, rather, brethren, give diligence. Give a constant effort to make your invitation. Another word for a calling is an invitation. And your choosing or selecting, your election, sure. So may we do that this morning. And also, if you want to turn over to Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before us. That apprehended, I count not myself to have apprehended. He was saying that he has not He has not seized or taken hold of fully as he would like to, or as he will at the end, maybe, as I believe in the context of it. But then he says this thing about forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He was speaking of those things that he was wanting to forget. So this morning, do you have something on your heart that God is wanting you to forget, that is, has pained you regarding someone or something that has been clearly dealt with, but you are still, it's still something that keeps coming to your heart that you know is should be gone? Paul is saying, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before us. What was Paul wanting to forget? Was it how he had killed Christians? And he had beat them and mocked them before his conversion? Or was it how he was very zealous? He was very zealous in his walk with the Lord, in his what he thought was serving the Lord, according to the law, blameless. Earlier in the chapter, he had a zeal, but it was not after God. It was just kind of a, you could say, a false hope that he had. He wanted to forget that, and he wanted to press on into that true hope. He wanted to reach forth, and he wanted to remember the prize at the end of the race, which is Jesus, face to face with our Lord Jesus. Verse 14, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That high calling is an upward call. It's an upward call. Pressing toward that mark. That mark is the end goal or the end view. It's a certain goal that he had in mind. That pressing in to that mark of a high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, it was Paul, you could say, he was not trying to qualify for that high calling, but he had heard the call, and he was giving his answer. He's going to press in, and he's going to be like Jesus. 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, or another word is mature, be like Jesus and not of this world. As many as be like Jesus, be thus minded, that if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal it unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. He's saying, together of me, and then he says, and join them which walk so as ye have me for an ensample. It's basically following those who are good. And I want to give a brief illustration here in a little bit of walking together out of Luke chapter 5. For many walk of whom I have told you often. So Paul said these things often. He said there's many walking of now, and I tell you, even weeping. And he would weep when he would say and tell of these of many who were walking not after the truth of God's word, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They had strange fire. They had perverted lifestyles, and they walked in you could say the nakedness of the age that we're in. He said, in whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he looked forward and he said, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He was looking forward. He was done looking back there. And he wanted to remember Jesus and that body that he will give each one of us. That body that he will give us at the last day. We don't know how it all will come together, but we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord. Then I thought of this verse in Matthew 22:13 and 14. Speaking of that high calling of God, this is a high calling to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that would be real in my life here this morning. Matthew 22:13, then said the king to the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. That's the Amplified. For many are invited, or called and summoned, but few are chosen. I believe that chosen, that few that are chosen, I believe that's talking about the ones who will endure until the end. The ones who will be faithful until the end. The ones who will fight on, my brother, as the song says. A few verses in Matthew chapter, verse 16. That just spoke to me where Jesus said, the people, this is in the Amplified, who sat, dwelt, enveloped in darkness, have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the land and shadow of death, the light has dawned. That's Jesus Christ. From that time, Jesus began to preach. He crying out, repent. Change your mind for the better. Heartily amend your ways with abhorrence of your past sins. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He cried out to repent. And as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he noticed two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, throwing a dragnet into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, come after me as disciples, letting me be your guide. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And those getting baptized today, God is calling you to be a fisher of men. And Brother Paul shared, and I think it was the hand of the Lord, that little passage in of King Naaman. I was going to go through that, but I don't have time anyway. But this little maiden, she was 10 or 12 years old, and some of you getting baptized may be 12 or 14. And just think of that. This little maiden, she was engaged in the kingdom work at her age, and she was telling people of this great God that she knew about. And so you don't have to be summoned to some great position to serve God and to be a fisher of men. So I just was blessed by that. And so in going on further, he noticed two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets and putting them right. And he called them. At once, they left the boat and their father, and they joined Jesus as disciples, and sided with his party and followed him. So today, and I know this starts at conversion, but you have decided to follow Jesus. And there will be a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus, and I want to get into that here in a little bit. But there is a great cost to following Jesus Christ. So if you want to turn over to Luke chapter 5, and if, Stephen, you want to bring up that net, and I think Caleb was going to come with him for a little illustration here. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. But the verse that I want to talk about here a little bit is verse 7 and verse 8. And so, Jesus called us to be fishers of men. And we think of a fishing pole. And usually, you know, you can only get one fish on a pole most times. And so, I was just thinking of that, and I was thinking, was Jesus really illustrating something to his disciples? Was he telling them something more than just, you know, I'll read this verse. And he beckoned unto them, unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that their nets, so that they began to sink. Verse 6 says, "And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake." And then Simon Peter, when he saw the hand of God, he said to Jesus, he fell down on his knees, and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Because he recognized God. You want to come over here a little further so the ones over here can see it. But I was just thinking of, you know, we have this choice. You know, we're called to be over here fishing, you know, and fishing for souls of men. And that's what God calls us to. But then we could illustrate this as on an individual basis. And then as Jesus was illustrating, I believe in a net like this, you know, we have fish in here. And this thing is, you know, picture this thing completely full. And I think the fishing pole is something that what I looked at is it started out, it was first used in about 2000 B.C. They used to have sticks or bamboo sticks, and they'd make some silk. And then they have fishing poles, and they would fish in that way. But I was just thinking, you know, these brothers are working together. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. And we all got a hold of the net. We all got a hold of the net around this fishing boat. And just look how that boat was filled. It was filled when they were in one accord in one place. And as that boat was filled, they summoned some others. "Come over here. We got too many fish. Come over here and help us." And it was unity. It was working together for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's what's so beautiful, is to work together for the common goal of following Jesus. And yeah, we can go over here and we can grab a fishing pole and we can work, you know, and God calls some of us to that on the mission field and otherwise. But where there's a local body, I believe it's Jesus Christ was illustrating. When you work together and you fill that, I'll fill that net for you and it will break because it's so full. And then, but what happens many times in my own life and maybe others is, you know, I get distracted and I just start looking over here. Oh, what is that over there? And then I walk over here and all of a sudden I forget I have a hold of this net and I just drop it. And then, you know, there's fish that die, that go off to the wrong side, to the wrong way. Maybe get caught up in other things, cares of this life or whatever it is. But I was just thinking, is that really what Jesus was wanting to tell us here? You know, when he said there in verse 4, he said, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down this net. And when he had thus done, he enclosed a great multitude," it says. Another gospel says, I think 153. I didn't look that far, take time to look at it, but I was just pondering over that. You know, these precious fish, you know, this is just a small example of what fish, of these fish here that God is calling us to be fishers of men. And with this net is, I believe, the body of Christ working together for the glory of God. So the high calling of God's people, when we follow Jesus, when we begin this walk of faith, there it's a high calling. And I thought of these verses in this verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So whatever you do, I believe this great high calling of God in our Christian life is asking us to do whatever we do it to the glory of God. Whether it's drinking orange juice or lemonade, or whether it's fixing the church lawn or cleaning the ceiling at the church, whatever it is, we do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Because the unbeliever, he can do nothing for the glory of God because it's not a faith. He can do nothing for the glory of God. He can do many things, but the unbeliever, it's nothing. But we as Christians have this privilege to do everything that we do for the glory of God, a witness for Christ. And so I had to think of over in Isaiah, there's a verse that's speaking of that, God's holiness. Verse 3, "And he cried Verse 2, and it stood above the seraphim. One had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And I believe that when we walk in holiness, in true holiness, then the manifestation of a set apart life, a life that is separated unto Christ and separated from this evil world, there's a manifestation of the glory of God that comes forth from that life. You know, holiness, God's holiness is internal. And God, it's who he is. And his glory goes forth. It's a manifestation of God. And he's jealous for his glory. He wants us to give him the glory, because he wants us to recognize that of ourselves we are nothing. So have you heard the call, God's call on your life? And there's various areas that God can call your life, call you to a service. And I just want to talk about some of these. He has a call to repentance. He wants us to repent before him and obey his commandments. He called us to be fishers of men, even if you're only 10 or 12, like that little maiden. He called us to be members of a local body, hold your part of the net. Romans 12:5, members one of another, beckoning those from without, come where there's life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Am I beckoning to my, in my workplace, am I beckoning souls to Jesus? I trust we will beckon many souls this next week as we start the tent meetings on Friday night. Many souls that can come together. And then, but you know, there also scripture I thought of, it says that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And so I believe that we have work to do as well. We have things in our lives that we need to come bring to God and have him cleanse us of these things. And I've just been thinking a little bit about that high calling of God. And I believe that high calling of God also involves our outward and how we look on the outside. And I know many of you, or some of you at least, have heard me share a bit on, you know, my concern with casual dress in the world in which we live. And I believe that as I looked up a little bit on that, you know, there are those who are doing research on this. I believe, from my understanding, it started in the 50s, where there was a casual thrust that was coming forth. And but those psychologists and so on that are studying this in a secular sense are saying that it affects the way you look affects the way you think, feel, and act. And since the casual scene has come into workplace, there has been a decline, they say, in performance, in work performance. I know many companies have a kind of a dress code that they enforce, and now they're going to this casual Friday thing. But anyway, I believe that this is something that we as a church need to get a hold of and to go the other way. Because I believe it wants to engulf us, and I believe we should be separation from this world. And I was just thinking in light of casual dress, there's also something that kind of comes into that, and that is what you see with your eye. What you see with your eye affects who you are. And I believe that it's possible that these cartoon people that have made these cartoons have influenced this casual dress. I believe that's what the Lord has shown me. Back in the 80s, there was a little group, and I'm not no expert on this, but they come up with this called shirt tails. That was the name of the cartoon. I've never watched it, but it's my understanding that Shirt Tales, basically, these little guys would come out and they'd pull their shirts out. And they would waddle around, they put their bill hats on sideways and backwards, and they would just try to be funny. And it can be seemingly innocent. And I'm not saying that it's it is what it is. But I'm just saying that could it be that the cartoons, because before 1950, the casual style of dress was not present. People, when they went out in public, they put their shirt in their pants, and they walked around in a presentable way. And so I believe that these cartoons, and I don't even know all the modern-day names, this was in the 80s, that I believe are affecting our children. And then as our children see their children, I believe it's possible that it can rub off. And so I just put that out as a plea. And I put that out as as something for us to pray over and think of, that we would just go away from that. You know, we need to press toward the mark of a high calling. If we have a high calling, you don't see that in the military. When they are dressed for their jobs, they are dressed, and it's proper. And I feel like that's extreme, but I also feel like there's something we can learn from that as children of God. Because we are called to love God with all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and our brother as well. And then that also affects, you know, the whole movie scene. Because if you let your children watch cartoons, I believe that they will whet their appetite for movies. And I believe that cartoons, you know, are very, very poor child entertainment. I believe that storybooks are much better, Bible stories. And I feel like that's something that will have more of an effect if they continue to watch those things than what you or I could imagine. But anyway, we're called to Christian service as well. Matthew 28:19, get involved, prison ministry, ministering wherever God has you. Just get involved. I believe that's God's high calling in Christ Jesus to us here this morning. Get involved wherever you are, and monetarily and otherwise. And then also he has called us to a holy calling, 2 Timothy 1:9. For the sake of time, I'm going to kind of cut it short here. But and then 2 Timothy 4:8, you know, he has called us to love his reappearing. Love his reappearing. And also he has called us to turn the other cheek, to die to self. I think that was part of what Paul was saying back in, you know, when I was reading Philippians 3 there. He was saying, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on to those things that are higher, that are nobler, that are of good report, that are just, pure, all those things. Let's press on. Let's press into those things. And then it says to think on those things. So this is the high calling of God's people, and my prayer is that there was a couple other verses here that I was thinking of. This was kind of along the lines for the sisters getting baptized here. In 1 Timothy 1:9, there's a scripture that says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And I believe that that is very important in our day. When I think of the head covering, I believe that if we believe God's word in 1 Corinthians 11 regarding the head covering, that we should wear it to the glory of God, to cover that glory, and wear it like we believe in it. I believe that that is very beneficial, and I believe that's part of that high calling, is to cover that glory and wear it like we really believe in it, rather than something that's sliding off the back. So I don't have a lot more here. I guess I'll just kind of cut it short. I know the time is at hand here. Just a few thoughts here in closing. Things that what we are called from and called to. We are called from labor to rest, Matthew 11:28. We are called from death to life, 1 John 3:14. We're called from bondage to liberty, Galatians 5:13. We're called out of darkness into light, 1 Peter 2:9. Called from bondage of sin into peace with God, 1 Corinthians 7:15. Called to the fellowship of His Son, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And what we are made by obeying the call, we are made sons of God, John 1:12. We are made children of God, Galatians 3:26. We are made servants of God, Matthew 25:21. We are made God's saints, Colossians 1:1. We are made God's witnesses, 1 Thessalonians 2:10. We are made workers together with God, 2 Corinthians 6:1. We are called to a high calling, Philippians 3:14. And we are called to a holy calling, 2 Timothy 1:9. And we are called to a heavenly calling, Hebrews 3:1. So I pray that for each one of you, I appreciated all your testimonies, and for the sake of time, wasn't able to comment on them. But I just pray that God would, that this high calling of God in Christ Jesus will be very real to all of you in the coming days and weeks. And remember that God is on your side. And He has promised us in His Word, He will never leave us and He will never forsake us as we walk with Him. So I just want to close with that. God bless.